If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Now to the story of a famous agent to the stars who worked his way up from a job in the mailroom to be a top agent, spent 60 years at one of the great agencies. Best-selling author Joel Brokaw is the fourth generation in his family working in the media. His late father, Norman, was the chairman of the famous and powerful William Morris Agency in Hollywood. And the book is Driving Marilyn. It's the story of the legendary agent Norman Brokaw. Joel, welcome. Good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you very much, Bob. Pleasure to be here.
Driving Marilyn, the name of the book. And that refers to a job your dad once had. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, when he was a very young man, he had the job of driving Marilyn to her auditions, to meetings, to acting lessons, and so forth. And the reason for that was that his uncle, who gave him his start at the agency, was a gentleman named Johnny Hyde. And in all the stories about Marilyn, he is a prominent figure because he was the one who gave her her start. He believed in her and championed her, and he also lived together with her. But Johnny Hyde had a very serious heart condition, and he really couldn't be out there accompanying her to all these various different appearances. So my dad had to drive her around, and he developed a really wonderful friendship with her. He really admired her for her intelligence, and they had a really nice rapport. And I tell one story that is part of really Hollywood lore, which is he had taken her to a television appearance. She was still working her way up, and she appeared on a local talent television show that all the casting agents watched, and they decided right after to go to down the street and have a bite to eat at the Hollywood Derby. And this was a place to be seen, and it obviously didn't take long before people started noticing her. In fact, one of the people that noticed her was a very famous baseball player. We're right on the baseball season now, obviously, named Joe DiMaggio. And he was having dinner with William Frawley, and who was Fred Mertz in I Love Lucy. And Frawley went over to the table and said, introduced himself. My father knew him, but Marilyn didn't know him. And my father introduced Marilyn to him, and Frawley cut to the chase and said, I'm having dinner with Joe D. He would like to meet the young lady. And that was the beginning of that relationship. My father actually developed quite a wonderful friendship that was a lifelong friendship with Joe DiMaggio. And part of it was based on some advice that my dad gave him when the relationship was starting to go sour. And my dad's, Joe DiMaggio was getting really upset with the fact that Marilyn was not going to be a stay-at-home wife, and she was getting all of this attention for things that that was upsetting to him, like the dress blowing up from the street grate and so forth. And so, so my dad said to him, I don't know of a woman who could convince you not to go up to bat for your 56th straight game, to get a hit in your 56th consecutive game, which of course is the record that has never been broken yet. And right. He says, I don't know of a man who could convince a woman not to star in a movie with Clark Gable or Spencer Tracy. And the light bulb went off for him with that. And Joe DiMaggio credited that advice for keeping the relationship alive a little bit longer and preserving the undying love that he had for her for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and if someone hasn't figured it out yet, we are talking about Marilyn Monroe. Would your dad talk to you or your family about the famous stars he was with? Did he tell stories at home?
You know, that was something that made this writing of this book very difficult, because he just didn't really talk about it. And when you look at it, it made a lot of sense, because it's a very gossipy business. And when you're an agent to stars, it's an incredible place of trust that you have. And he did not talk about his clients to us very much. And it was only when my brothers and I, got in the same business as he, that he started sharing things with us. And it was really wonderful, because he taught us a lot of values that we took to heart and worked for our success. So it was, the worst thing would be is, like, if he spoke badly about someone, and then the telephone game would start, and it would get back to people. And then a prospective client might say, "Oh, I don't want to work with him. I heard what he said about his client." So it was that kind of business. And one of the things that I try to do in this book is to talk about, we all know about Elvis and Marilyn and Natalie Wood and Clint Eastwood and Kim Novak the list of luminaries, but we don't really know what went on behind the scenes to support these people. And a lot of actors are, very insecure people. Is the telephone ever going to ring again? And my dad was there kind of in multiple roles. He was not only getting them their jobs as an agent, he was giving them career advice as a manager. He was helping them run their businesses. He would give them legal advice or get them to the best people. He was like their psychiatrist, and so it was a very interesting job. And he would be up late at night talking to people. So he was a very caring and enthusiastic person.
Yeah, and that comes really through. Yeah, in the book, Joel Brokaw has written a very loving tribute to his late father, Norman. The book is Driving Marilyn, The Life and Times of Legendary Hollywood Agent Norman Brokaw. Joel, I've never read anything very positive about Colonel Tom Parker and his relationship with Elvis, but Norman Brokaw has good things to say about the colonel, and it's in the book. Tell us about it.
Well, I think it's one of those things, like, to use a hockey analogy, teams would have kind of a goon that would be there. If the star on the team gets roughed up, this person would come out and beat up the offending person on the other team. And so that person was very popular among their fan base, but you go into another barn and that person is booed and hated. And Colonel Parker was that kind of person. You wanted him on your team. But if you sat across from him in the negotiating table, you were dealing with quite an adversary. As I said, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people who've seen, like, the recent Elvis motion picture have been a little bit upset, because, I mean, every story needs a villain, and it's very easy to point finger at someone who was kind of as bombastic as Colonel Parker was. But he was a very creative and skillful person. He really had that kind of grassroots type of wisdom about him. He knew how to count the house, so that a promoter wouldn't cheat the talent out of the proceeds. So he was somebody who was, you wanted him on your team. And my father and him had this incredible respect for each other. And it was the reason why Colonel Parker said that any offers coming in for Elvis would have to go through my dad. And that, for a young agent in the 1950s and early 60s, that was quite a feather in my dad's cap to have that kind of relationship.
Yeah, pretty good.
That was really endemic of, the what drove his success was that he made you feel like you were his only client, and he was so enthusiastic and was really there for people, not just when times were good, but also when times were bad. And that was, he put the relationship first, and that was something that made him really contagious. His energy was contagious for them.
Not only did Norman Brokaw make a lot of deals, but he influenced so many major TV and movie decisions. Talk a little bit about Lucy and Desi and what your dad did, Joel.
Well, you know, basically, when television first came out, it was not, the people were not very enthusiastic about it because it was kind of a novelty. Not everyone had TVs in their homes, and it was basically kind of talking heads and maybe a baseball game or bowling, or and they would show old movies, but nobody really knew what to do with it. And my father was given the job of forming the first television department, and his boss called him in and said, there's a thing that we think is going to be called television, and we want you to work on it. And my dad thought that he was being demoted because he was a motion picture agent. He was going to premieres, and then suddenly he was given this little tiny box, which you know, took up, it was a big piece of furniture, but it was the size of my computer screen I'm looking at right now. It was bigger than it. And so he had the job of trying to do something with it, and he came up with a great idea, which was to start signing some people who had a name in the business as actors and actresses, but maybe weren't that hot. And he combined it with a lot of these B-movie directors. And that was really the first start of dramatic and comedic filmed programs on television. And more importantly, he convinced the first big star to take the leap from motion pictures to the little screen. And part of it was that Lucy and Desi were starting up, and they were showing that this could be a big business, that you could own your own program, that you would, you know, it would start to get into every American's living room. And so Loretta Young was a big star on the big screen. And she said, I like what he's telling me. And I see this as a good business opportunity. And I see it, more importantly, as a way to get one big idea out into the American mainstream. Once she dove into the pool, everybody else wanted to do it. And so my dad was kind of like, he was like in the right place at the right time in so many ways, with signing Gerald Ford while he was still in the White House and on his way out the door to be the first politician to be represented by a Hollywood agency, and also pioneered the representation of athletes when he signed Mark Spitz, fresh from the Munich Olympics. And that was something that was unheard of in the business, that a Hollywood agent representing sports people.
Yeah, now it's normal, but you're right. It was not done back then. It's such a great, fun read. The book is Driving Marilyn, The Life and Times of Legendary Hollywood Agent Norman Brokaw, written by Joel Brokaw. In the foreword to the book, David Geffen writes, Norman Brokaw was the last of a dying breed. He sure was, and it's a great story. Thanks for telling us about it this morning, Joel. All the best to you and the family. I think I've dealt with Sandy Brokaw many
That's
times
right.
over the years with various music people. So is that what's the relation that you have to Sandy? Is that your brother?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we worked together for many, many years. And
tell him hi.
I will certainly do that. And thank you so much for talking to me about it.
Well, congratulations on the book.